Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So there's a video going around the internet. Like, how many people here are Facebookers? All right, so it's been going around for a while. You may have seen it. I want you to picture this with me. As the video fades to black, you see 50 yards of a dirt road that leads to a forest in the background. The leaves and the grass, they're light brown, and they clearly show that it's winter time. And coming towards the camera is a little boy dressed in this huge overcoat. And a golden dog are beside him, and they're both the same height. The boy is holding a red dog leash, walking in tandem with this golden-colored dog, who at any time could just drag this boy away, but it's not that kind of video. The dog is a clearly mild-mannered, and both the toddler and dog, they seem just content to walk side by side down the road. That is until the child spots a water puddle in the dirt road. And just after the dog and the boy pass the puddle, the boy stops, and the dog stops next to him. The boy gently puts down the dog leash. He looks back at the puddle, and then he walks away from the camera through the puddle. And when he turns around, you can see this huge smile on his face, and he walks through the puddle back and forth several times with this grin like he's discovered the greatest play spot on the planet. All the while, the dog just waits. After the boy, he finishes his walkthrough, which have sufficiently made him dirty and wet now. He picks up the dog leash and he continues on his little venture of walking his dog. The last time I checked, that video had over 1 million views. I think this little video clip has captivated people because it brings on nostalgic memories of when puddles were fun, when yard full of leaves were meant to be run through, when a rainy day meant looking up towards the sky and opening your mouth, when joy was found in mundane circumstances. As adults, we tend to avoid puddles. We look at a yard full of leaves and we just see work. And we try to stay as dry as possible in the rain. Our grown-up concerns, they have a tendency to squelch the joy of normal circumstances of life. Our stress, it has a tendency to choke the light, the life out of living in the moment, and causes us to live in the what if of the future. Most children, they don't seem to have that. They still take joy in puddles. In my own children, I usually see joy expressed in singing. They will sing about anything and everything. They will sing in the shower about washing their hair. They will sing about ice cream. They sing in car rides. They sing about singing. Joy seems to spontaneously come from children in song. Well, in today's gospel reading, Mary sings what we know as the Magnificat. She is not a child, nor is she carefree. In fact, God has put a lot on Mary's plate. I think verse 56 in this passage gives us some insight into Mary's not-so-ideal situation. It reads, "And Mary remained with her," that's Elizabeth, "about 3 months, and then returned home." I think a lot of people just gloss over that passage. And most readers won't even ask the difficult question of why is Mary away from her soon-to-be husband for 3 months? I think we get some insight into this separation from a passage in the birth narrative of Matthew. And that reads, "Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." So Mary tells Joseph this annunciation story of when the angels come to her. He wants to divorce her, and somewhere in the middle of all of that, she goes away for 3 months. The annunciation story, thoughts of divorce, 3 months separation. This is not a happy part of the story. If you read between the lines here, you see that Mary and Joseph, they're separated for 3 months. And who could really blame Joseph for wanting a divorce? Who of you would believe Mary's story today? She's a teenage girl, engaged to a much older man. She's become pregnant under questionable circumstances by someone who is not her soon-to-be husband. And she claims that God sent her an angel and told her that she was going to have a son who would be the new ruler over the world. And in fact, we'd call this one Emmanuel, which means God with us. Take a second. What would you think if somebody came to you from the local high school with that story? Teen mother, not married, God spoke to her, says she's still a virgin. Right, Karen? Yeah. You would call the hospital and have them put under supervision. Even back then, some people must have thought that she was crazy. Joseph must have thought that she was cheating on him. And imagine what both their parents would have thought. Mary is held up by the majority of the Christianity as an example of faithfulness to God, and she is. In the Eastern Orthodox Church, she is called Theotokos. Theotokos, which means God-bearer. She is truly a saint, but for a time, she was a single, unwed mother living with her cousin. What we often forget is that for a while, this God-bearer had her life put into turmoil when God decided to come to her. God invading her life and getting involved with her situation caused her soon-to-be husband to leave for 3 months. God comes to her because she's faithful. In her faithfulness, and things do not get better. For a time, they get worse. Yet Mary is an example of faithfulness in her distress. In our gospel reading, we hear the beautiful words of the Magnificat, and this is a song of praise. It's a hallelujah of rejoicing. And this song doesn't come after God makes everything better. Mary sings her hallelujahs in the middle of her pain and sorrows. It's in the midst of being separated from Joseph, while she is still at Elizabeth's house, that she sings of God's love and God's blessings. See, it's easy to sing when things are going well and our lives are filled with joy. It's easy to sing when we can make the rent, when we can put food on the table, when marriages are going well, when we have no financial troubles or stress or health-related issues. It's easy to sing when things are going well. It's hard to praise. It's harder to maintain joy when life seems like it's falling apart in the midst of holiday stress and in the midst of the pain of losing a loved one, in the middle of worry and doubt, in the wake of unfathomable acts like terrorism. Sometimes painful praise to God is all we can muster. Sometimes the hallelujahs that we sing come from despair and are broken. Broken hallelujahs come when our bones hurt and our bodies ache. They come when our loved ones are ravaged with dementia, when all seems lost. Broken hallelujahs come from the distress of a broken government, a world that is sinful, and a humanity that is out of touch with God. See, though acts of violence and divorce and pain and sin, they mix and they get jumbled in with our praise and worship to God like it did for Mary, we are called to persist in praise. But why? Why are we called to praise? Why are we called to persist in worship to God in the face of tragedy? In our gospel reading, Mary shows us how the people of God are called to continue through life. She is broken. She is in pain, but continues to praise because she knows that God is with her. The Advent season, which is the beginning of our church year, it answers this question for us. God is with those who are in pain. God is with those who are in distress. God promises comfort to the brokenhearted. We have a God who loves us so much that He is sending His Son to be light in the darkness and to dwell with us. We're called to sing even broken hallelujahs as a discipline of the Christian life because God is coming. With our praise, we remind ourselves and others that light is going to come into the world. We praise because Jesus is on His way, and we will see that light shines in the darkness. Our Advent candle is a reminder during worship that no matter how much darkness invades the world, it can't push out even the smallest of light. God is going to come, and one day it will not be like this. On that day when Jesus comes, our praise will not be with broken hallelujahs anymore. One day, Jesus will return, and once and for all, heaven will invade earth, and God will establish God's kingdom forever. But as we wait for God to come, we're called to praise. Friends, we have grown-up concerns. We forget to play in puddles, run through yards full of leaves, and find joy in everyday circumstances. But until the time when our Lord comes and all is set right, remember what God has given you. Remember that even a broken hallelujah is a declaration that light pushes away darkness because God is coming to earth. Remember Mary's Magnificat. Friends, may you know that light is coming into the world and will push away darkness. May you seek Jesus no matter what situation you find yourself in. And may you praise God even with a broken hallelujah. Amen.